Hey there, Patriots. I'm so glad that you are joining with us today. This is I'm Melissa Red Pill the World, and this is Team Melly. Hey, Team Melly, we got Colleen, Tammy, Jess, and Debbie. Welcome, you guys. We are going to have so much fun today. We're going to do the small group study about the sign of the Son of Man. This is one of my favorites. You guys know that. I know I say that all the time, but this one really is. It really is. This keeps us encouraged to know that this is what we're experiencing. This great, amazing thing that we're experiencing is the Battle of Armageddon, and it's the Great Awakening. So let's go. You guys ready?
Ready.
Ready. All right, let's do it. Here's our study. We've been working, you guys, on, and we're now on study 15. If you go on freedomforce.live, here's my website, freedomforce.live. And over on the section right here where it says videos, playlist categories, right here, you'll see the small group study. And we already have, I can't even believe this, girls. We've done 13 so far. 14 is going to be posted soon. And now today we're doing 15. And Lord willing, we're going to get these done within the next couple of months. That's the plan. We are stepping on it, and we're not playing around anymore. We're gonna get this done. All right, so this one is I actually had this sign of the Son of Man, the heavenly sign the Lord gave us on my website. If you just scroll down from on freedomforce.live, you will see it. Right there. I saw this with my own two eyeballs. I saw this sign, and the Lord helped me to understand it. Back in the day, I didn't really completely understand it, but I saw it. I was witnessing it. And today we're going to talk about what this means. This is the Bethlehem Star for our day. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Okay, so let's do our study. Here it is. This is the chapter that will settle in your heart and mind that we are witnessing the end times for the beast, who has wreaked so much havoc on the earth. How do we know for sure? Because the Lord gave us this beautiful heavenly clock. It's called the Maseroth or the Zodiac. And he set an alarm. That alarm went off September 23rd, 2017, on my sister's birthday. Her birthday is on the Feast of Trumpets. How lucky is she? And it was the kickoff to the Great Awakening and the Battle of Armageddon. That explains everything we have experienced for the past several years. And this chapter will keep you encouraged and fighting until we cross that finish line. Are you ready? Let's go. All right. So why does Genesis 1:14 say that the Lord put the sun, moon, and stars in the heavens?
For signs,
Time,
seasons,
seasons,
days,
days,
years.
years.
That's right. He gave it to us. He told us. And I know they try to flip us out that this demonic and the scary, but it's not, wasn't scary to the wise men. And it doesn't have to be, it's not scary for us either. It's not scary, but it's for signs, seasons, days, and years. So seasons, days, and years. So seasons as in, spring, summer, winter, fall, that you literally know when the seasons change based upon the stars. And this years, we've got eons, literally, the age, we're entering into the age of Aquarius. So that's what it means there. But for signs to communicate with us, just like the wise men knew about the Bethlehem star. And so I believe Daniel had told them about that. So yes, so see signs. Name a famous sign. I already told it. I get ahead of myself. What's this famous sign in the Bible?
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem Star.
Bethlehem Star.
The new star.
Exactly. We'll give one reason why the Lord numbers the stars and calls them by name.
Well, he created them.
Right.
And he knows them by name. He's familiar with them because he created them. But
Yes.
he also wanted us to know and give us hope for his creation and that he has all things in plan.
Yes. I'm looking for a specific answer. Does anyone else have any other thoughts on that?
I kind of thought like that he's all powerful, he's omnipotent and that he knows everything, and it just makes him like almighty, and that shows how much he loves and he cares about the most littlest things, and that
Yes.
he names them. That's my
Yes.
thought.
Yes. There's oh, it's like your teacher who's looking for a specific answer.
I know.
You don't know
I
what's in
put,
my head. Go ahead, Tammy.
well, I just said it's his handiwork, and so I don't know.
Right?
He knows, just like the birds, he knows every bit of it. So,
Yes.
what is the word, Melly?
Okay. All right, Debbie, you got another thought? She's thinking of something. She's trying
Well,
to
I
read
was
mine.
wondering if maybe the answer that you're looking for, and I may be completely wrong, but because he was telling the story, I think of God walking in the garden with Adam, telling the story of the gospel in the stars and how he was naming them for Adam so that we could pass that down. And
Yes.
all of the
Yes.
generations of the people all agree of these constellations and their names.
Yes. Yes. That's the answer. You read my
Yay, Debbie.
Right. It's a scary place in there to read my mind, but that's it. You got it. All right. So, all right. Yeah. So if you look, for example, on this picture right here, you'll see that Leo has a star right here called Regulus. That's just one example of how a star is named. That's in the right paw of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's the regal, that's the regal star, showing that he's the king of the world. So this is, of course, our Lord Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, but how Judah would reign until Shiloh comes, that verse in God's word. So that gives you an example what how each of the stars is named, and those names determine what each constellation is. For example, all these stars that are named in Leo help you to know, okay, this is a lion. Okay. So or with Virgo, the over here, I don't remember the exact name, but there's the seed, this star right here where she's holding the Omer, like we always talk about the Omer. She's holding this one. It's called seed. Okay. So she's the woman with the seed. So and I have a video called The Heavenly Storybook. If you go and look on here, let me see if I can do it real super quick. Scrolling up, I think Biblical Astronomy. That's right somewhere. Where is it? This one right here. God gave us a heavenly storybook. So that I go into actually the names of a lot of the stars on there and how you identify each of the constellations for its
And it's
biblical.
really, really good. It's so
I know.
it's so good. I hope
Thank
everybody will watch
you.
it.
Yes, and they hid this from us on purpose. I really do think that that's why they burned down the library in Egypt, because a lot of this information was in there. And sometimes I'm trying to figure out, okay, what do all these different things mean? And I just don't think that it's some of this information is readily available. Pray that I'll be able to lay my hands on some of these things, but I think that they burned it to a crisp, a lot of it. All right, so that's one of the reasons. Number five. How are the heavens speaking messages to us from the Lord? I'm actually going to pull this up. BibleGateway.com. Did I say Psalm 19? All right. Somebody read a little portion of that for us. Tess, read a little portion of the first four verses.
Okay. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament soweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night soweth knowledge. This is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun.
Awesome. Perfect. Perfect. There's more. This is a wonderful psalm. But yeah, day after day, they're talking to us. Night after night, they're sharing knowledge with us. It's just we don't know a lot of us, we don't know how to read it a lot of times, right? But it's talking. There's
I would
no place it hadn't that their voice is not heard. Go ahead, Deb.
Romans 1:20 is something that fits right in here that says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things, that he has made.
Amen.
And so he's declaring his glory through this to us.
Amen. Right. He's speaking to us through this. And I think there's a very valid a big reason that they did not want us to understand this. It even says on the board they thought we would follow the stars. And I thought initially that was talking about the stars, like the movie stars. But I really think it's also talking about these. They thought that we would be able to connect all this, and we haven't, by and large. Anyway, the firmament shows his handiwork. Their line in verse 4 says their line is the ecliptic. The ecliptic, that's the line on which the wandering stars move. When you see Jupiter moving along, someone was saying Was that you calling, texting me that all these stars are in alignment right now? And they're on this called this ecliptic, or that line is has gone out through all the earth to the ends of the world. Okay, so anyway, this is what the Lord has put in His Word for us. They're speaking messages, but as we said, most don't know how to read these. What's the difference between a biblical astronomy and astrology/horoscopes?
Good versus evil.
There you go. Right. And the enemy always wants to hijack.
Something yes.
Really good.
Everything.
Right? They always want to hijack.
Instead of worshiping the creator, they're worshiping the stars. And they're trying to twist it into saying that this means one thing or this means another. And what we want to do is worship the creator.
Amen. Very good point. So whenever you read horoscopes, it's talking about you know how this is. I don't know. I haven't read one in a while, but basically, it's trying to say, "Oh, well, this is your month of this or that or the other." That's not what we're doing. We are looking at what is the message from the Lord to us, how He's using it. And the thing is, they can't change the stars. They can't. They can mess with horoscopes. They can mess with fake news, but they can't mess with this. And this is what one of the things that I really want you guys to see when the ones who are watching, I want you to see this beautiful truth that the Lord put this sign out there, and He told us about it 2,000 years ago. He told us this to watch for this 2,000 years ago. No one could control what the stars were going to do 2,000 years into the future except the Lord. Isn't that awesome? It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah. So we're looking at what He's done. So let's get into this sign. And I wish I could make this bigger. It just seems like it's so small. All right. Let me see if I can move us over. Let's try that. Okay. Colleen, read Revelation 12, 1 and 2.
Okay.
Can you see it on the screen?
No, I don't see it on the screen.
Really?
Oh, goodness. Yes. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth.
Awesome. Thank you. This is the sign. I'm like, I just moved it down, so that's why you probably didn't see it. Yeah, so on her head. I love that this one says a garland. Garland, what does that... Actually, Merrick Garland is speaking today before Congress. What does garland suggest?
Wrapped. It's a wreath.
Right. But there's a, what do you, like Caesar would wear a garland on his head.
Crown? Yeah.
A crown. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a crown. Yeah. It says that in the other versions, it says a crown. In this one, it says that she had a crown of 12 stars. But that garland is like Caesar wore that. Remember, you know, how he wore that wreath on his head as the King. All right. So I think that the ancients knew these signs. They knew about these things. All right. So here it is. This sign has never been seen before and will never be seen again. There are some that are similar, but not this exact sign. I've gone all throughout Stellarium and there's no other time. They're saying, oh, well, it's this date or that date, but it won't be this exact one that has all these exact elements. So let's go ahead and identify the five elements. Okay. Okay. Somebody shout out one.
Sun.
The sun is on her shoulders. Mm-hmm. It says, in this version, it says the woman clothed with the sun. Someone says bathed in the sun. What did this one say that you just read to us?
Clothed with the sun.
It said clothed. Thank you. Yes. I just shut the link. All right. So yeah, clothed with the sun. So first of all, before we even do that one, let's talk. Who is the woman?
The woman clothed. Woman.
Us. God's people.
The bride of Christ.
Right. But physically, which constellation?
Virgo.
Virgo. So this is, we're going to talk about Virgo a little bit here as we go along. But
and I'm a Virgo.
Yeah. There's only three female constellations in all of the Maseroth. There's only three. And so Virgo represents the tribe of Naphtali. And so, but there's only one constellation, one of the females that is in the ecliptic. Remember I was telling you about this loop where the wandering stars go through? So that mm-hmm. really shows you when you're going to have these elements like the sun, moon, and stars, it's going to have to be Virgo, because none of the other constellations have female constellations have the wandering stars going through them. Okay. All right. So there's the woman, which is Virgo. Then Debbie said the sun. Who, what else? What other element?
Moon.
There's the moon, which is under her feet. You see the moon right here under her feet. And mm-hmm. okay. And then she had upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So what does that indicate?
Now, are there 12 in Leo, or are there some more over here on top of her?
Okay, so there's 9. Leo is 9.
Okay.
And then on this day, 3 more came into alignment to create the crown. So if you could pretend like Mercury, Mars, and Venus are not there. Pretend like they're not there. That's she. Her crown is not complete normally. But on this day, the crown became complete. And if you look, if you remember, Nefertiti had that tall crown with the serpent on it. That's basically this crown. She was wearing this crown. They knew all of this. The ancients knew all this. All right. So those are the 5 elements. And we're going to talk about this in more detail. All right. So let's keep going. So I already mentioned this. The biblical name of the zodiac?
Virgo.
Mazaroth, Mazzaroth. I want everyone to know the biblical name, because they always hijack these names for their evil purposes. But when we talk about Mazaroth, that is this heavenly storybook, this heavenly clock that the Lord has put in the heavens. All right, so there's those 3 constellations I was mentioning. So someone read number 10. Tammy, would you read number 10?
Sure. There are 3 constellations that are women: Virgo, the Virgin Bride of Christ; Andromeda,
okay.
the Chained Woman, Church, and Cassiopeia. Yeah,
I don't know. Cassiopeia. I shouldn't have made you do this one with all the hard work.
I know. The Queen of Heaven. Which constellation is used in this Revelation 12, 1 and 2? How do we know? So we kind of talked to that, right? It's Virgo, and she's the only one in the
ecliptic.
Yes,
in the ecliptic. I answered it before. All right. So, yeah. So Andromeda is the one. If you look up in the northern stars, in the north sky, you will see what looks like a W. And it's actually pretty easy to see. And so the W is actually her chair. She's sitting on a throne next to Christ. Cephus, Cephus, is on a throne by the North Star. And so then she's sitting on a throne next to him, which is what our destiny is to rule and reign with Christ in the heavenlies, to have this rule up in the high places. So if you look way in the southern sky, you'll see this giant serpent, gigantic serpent. It's like covers like almost 2/3 or 3/4 of the entire Mazaroth, this giant serpent. So of course it's got has a crow eating it, and then one has it's called crater, and it's like a bowl of wrath being poured out on them. So anyway, this is so biblical. That's why you've got to go and watch the one I was just saying here. God gave us this heavenly storybook. It's a must see. And this is why they've hidden all this from us. All right. So, so this is definitely Virgo, because Andromeda is way up in the north. And then Cassiopeia is, she is over, I think near Taurus, but she's up north from Taurus, but she is chained like on the Clash of the Titans movie. If you remember the Clash of the Titans, how she's chained and she's trying to get away, and the serpent. No, I know what it is. She's next to Pisces and the sea monster, Cetus, the sea monster, because the sea monster is coming to try to grab her and destroy her. So it's the church that has been chained. Andromeda is the church that's been chained. We haven't been able to accomplish the mission that the Lord has given to us. So this is the beautiful picture of us, that we are this queen of heaven. We are to rule and reign with him. But for a time, for a season, we've been chained and we haven't been able to accomplish that task. So those are the three women. And then, of course, Virgo, the virgin bride of Christ, as Debbie was saying. Virgo represents God's people. As Colleen, yeah, I think you were shouting that out too. So she is, this is the one that this sign happens in. So we talked about this. She's bathed or clothed in the sun. So when, if you were back in the day, I was trying to see this, you could see this sign happening until about, I don't want to say, I don't know, 2 weeks or whatever, before, when the sun came that close to her, then it was in the sunlight and you couldn't see it. Unfortunately, you couldn't see this exact sign because the sunlight obscures, of course, it obscures the stars. Okay. So you could see it while it was, you know, dark, you know, but let's say when the sun was way back here by, you know, around this way, around Leo, you could see it. But other than that, you know, once the sun came to her shoulders, you could not see it. Does that make sense? All right. So, but what I did get to see, you know, because I finally got to identify Virgo, if you are trying to go out there and see it, you're going to have to go to Stellarium, in my opinion, or there's some, one of those apps on your phone that you can get. One, there's a star app on the phone.
I have that, and I go out in the dark and point it up to the sky, and it'll tell you what you're seeing. You
can see. Yeah. Sky view.
And I actually use the Stellarium, the app on my phone.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Yeah. Now, if you're going to want to try to do what I do, like tracking them, like I was doing the other day with the bowls, if you remember me doing the bowls, I don't think you can do that on your phone as easily. It has, you know, I think it has to be done on a laptop. But either way, that Skyview app is really cool. So if you'll find, you can visualize Scorpio. That was my first one to get to see. And it looks like a giant S. So if you got to get a clear night and you look at Scorpio, and then you'll be able to see that she is just to the right of Scorpio. And basically Scorpio is always chasing her through the sky. Mino Scorpio. But it's not about, you know, it's not about your sign or whatever. It's just it's a heavenly storybook. All right. So that is, she's bathed in the sun. And what might that symbolize, though? We're always looking for the symbolism in the book of Revelation.
Could it be just like light and goodness?
Yes.
Warmth?
Yeah, I put light of the world.
Yes. I like all that. Yes, exactly.
Favor upon her.
Yes. I love that too.
Favor upon her.
Yes, definitely. Does it mean that the moon is under her feet?
Evil is under her feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a symbol, symbolically.
Yeah. I put darkness below. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Crushing.
Trampling it. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Colleen. Very good. So what 12 stars make up the crown? We talked about that a little bit. Leo. And then those three more. Mercury.
Venus, Mars.
Yes. Those three. So 9 plus 3, 12, right? All right. Yes. All right. So which there was a wandering star that does a travail in her womb or a loop for 42 weeks. Which one is that?
Jupiter.
Jupiter. Sure does. I saw it. That's what I could see. I could see it until it came, you know, about like it had done the loop and it was coming back down. And I would think then at that point it got to be too much in the sunshine and you couldn't see it a little bit when it was closer. But let's see. I said some stars stay in a constant location, like, you know, all of them really. If you look back on Job, he talked about Orion hasn't moved. But I can literally watch over day after day. I can see Jupiter move. Pretty cool. There's some that you know, you can notice their movement. And when you go on to Stellarium, you have to put it in as a muffle mount. Look for the button on the long along the bottom that says as a muffle mount, AZIMUTHAL. And so then when you track Jupiter, Melchizedek, it won't be Melchizedek on there, it'll be Jupiter on there, you will see it moving. Otherwise, the screen jerks back and forth so much you can't follow it. But if it's as long as it's an azimuthal mount, then you can see it. All right. So that's what's super cool to get to do. I'm so glad we have that access to that program. So for 42 weeks. So I already answered the question. I'm getting so excited. I was gonna say. Oh, the star's biblical name. Biblical name of that star.
Melchizedek.
And what is the meaning? I didn't tell that, at least. Go ahead. What's the meaning?
My king. Yeah.
The king. Yeah, I looked it up because I totally forgot. I mean, I knew a little bit, but it had here that he was both king and priest, just as Jesus was identified as our high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And he was without father. I had forgotten this, without father or mother or genealogy. Mm-hmm. So he had no beginning of days nor end of days.
Right.
That's what I, because I had forgotten.
Yeah. That. So, you know, Abraham met him and Abraham gave him an offering. So Abraham recognized him as this very great person of great authority and a priest and a king. But, you know, I'm sure he had a mom and dad. It just, we don't have it in the records is the point. And so much like our Lord Jesus, you know, we've got his records, but that he, you know, they would, in one sense, Jesus fulfills every promise, right? So not just of the different tribes. Anyway, so the meaning there of his name, he's an eternal king and priest. So the point about this Jupiter being the eternal king and priest, Melchizedek is the Christ star. This is the Christ star. So in Bethlehem star, it was actually two stars that conjoined, which one was Jupiter, Melchizedek, and one was Venus. So they are the two brightest stars in the sky. All right. So what was the other question? As far as its meaning, oh, it's the eternal king and priest. So it's, as I was saying before, it does these bowls, it does these loops, and then it goes in continually on and on and on and on and on and never stops, never has an end to it. It's just an eternal loop. So 42 weeks, what would that signify?
Baby.
Birth and a baby.
Let's get that baby here. Let's come on.
Right. So what is this baby we're trying to birth?
Mm-hmm.
This kingdom. We're trying to birth this kingdom. Get this, right?
Christ's kingdom on earth.
Amen. If you listen to, was it Paul said, you know, we're in travail. We're laboring in travail until Christ's kingdom is born in you. So in the earth. All right. So now, did our Lord Jesus tell us to watch for a sign?
Yes.
He did. So Tammy, read it out to me. What is the sign he told us to watch for?
Son of Man. Yeah. Sign of the Son of Man. Is that what we...
19. It's right there on the screen.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
All right. He said to watch for this.
Mm-hmm.
He said to watch for this. And, you know, I never really thought about it. I read this verse, but I don't think most people are knowing that the Lord Jesus told us to watch for this sign. You know,
and we've been told we can't know, we can't watch, we can't see. And truly, I mean, I wouldn't be able to keep up with a naked eye. I wouldn't be able to see the stars and what really happened. So right. It was all really hidden from us.
Yeah. 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 It really has been. I can't remember the first time I saw this, but I'm so glad that whoever did find this at the first, you know, but I think the one video I watched about it literally probably 8 years ago, that person at that time didn't connect it with being the sign of the Son of Man. You know, that wasn't, you know, he wasn't necessarily saying that, but I appreciate it all the same that we've been able to identify it. So what are the elements here when our Lord Jesus said, when you see this sign of the Son of Man in heaven, three things will happen? Okay. Uh-oh. I don't have the whole thing. I need to add a little bit more to this passage.
People of the earth will mourn.
Okay, I'm going to pull it up. And before you do that, I want you to read it from here, Deb, and then we'll show the all the elements of it. Matthew 24, verse 30. And I'm going to pull it up in the NLT. It's just so much easier to read in the NLT version. Don't y'all think? King James gets you every time.
Without the shoeth.
Let me get I like the NKJV on this one. While we're doing this, I like the NKJV, it seems like. All right. So can you see that? Matthew 24, 30. We'll try to get us out of the way here.
Then the sign of the Son of... Oh.
Sorry. Bang on. I'm going to get it right the way I want it here in just a second. Okay. Let's try that.
Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes, or some other versions say peoples, of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great authority. A glory. I was saying authority.
Yes. All right. There's one thing we're missing. Let's see. Come on. And he will send forth his angels with a mighty trumpet blast. So I must not. Okay. It must be verse 31 that I want to see.
Or before it. I don't know.
All right, I'm going to get there. I'm going to find it. I'm going to say 24. Watch your eyes, because I'm going to just scroll down. Watch your eyes. Here we go. That's verse 31. All right, so read me that 31, Deb.
And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Okay, that's what I needed. That's what I was missing.
We need 31 also.
31. Add to that. Right. Making notes, Tammy, for where I need to fix my study guide. We're soon going to have the study guide out, but I'm going to have to tweak it a little bit here and there. All right, so what are the three elements there that he was talking about? That we will see when we see the sign of the Son of Man, the first thing is
it's angels.
Well, the verse is in verse 30, the
tribes of the earth will mourn. That's the mourning period, because they're sad that the leader of the earth is defeated and that they are no longer in the winning position. And there's
Well, and also, I think there's been so much mourning over the past 7 years since we've seen this sign, the COVID. Mm. You know, I think there's been so much mourning because of the people who've died. We've had mourning over just this waking up. Just like we did that video about John being red-pilled. It's good. It's sweet, as it says, to learn all this, but it makes you sick. Makes your belly sick. Remember where we talked about John being red-pilled? So there's that aspect of it too. That I think we've mourned because of learning that the people we've trusted have been anything but trustworthy.
Can it also be like for the people who knew they were deceived and they didn't receive like the truth of Christ, that they're like, oh my gosh, I was wrong this whole time, you know?
Right. Yep. There's just been a lot of this, this truth is, it sometimes hurts to learn all these things. Yep. Yep. All the tribes of the earth will mourn. I think there's been just a mourning over what's happening to my country. Where's my country? You know, or these people who've, you know, had to flee their homes. They've had to literally leave their homeland. Just on and on. We've just had a lot of mourning. The wars. You know, what's going on in Israel? What's going on in Ukraine? It's just a lot of mourning. Okay. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's another thing that we're going to see. Now, I personally thought literally Jesus was going to come back on that day and rapture us out. I'm like, I really did. I was packed. I was ready. ready to go. And I remember the day I'm like, okay, this didn't happen. And so I've been misled. And I said, okay, I need you to tell me the truth about this. You know, I knew that this was the sign of the Son of Man. I knew this verse. And I was still here. I'm like, okay, now what's, I said, okay, Jesus, okay, it's time for you to tell me what's up. I need to know. And I think it was at that point I started to really say, I got to dig into Revelation. I want to know the truth about this because we're not leaving. We're having his kingdom come, as will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, then verse 31, what do you think about that? It's talking about us here as far as he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet.
Gather his people from four winds.
So it doesn't look like we're all gathered, does it?
Not yet.
More than we used to be. Just think about before we had the internet and before we couldn't, you know, I didn't know what was happening in Russia. I didn't know what was happening except what was on the news. And now we are connected by a wonderful tool.
Yes. Yes. And what's so amazing is, I mean, I knew Debbie. Debbie's my sister. Wave Debbie. That's my sister. I've known her all my life. I didn't know any of you other girls or all the people on the Freedom Force Battalion. I didn't right. know. And now, you know, we've been gathered together to fight. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why are we gathered together? It's because the Spirit of the Lord just woke us up. You know, we have to do this. There's nothing to do but do it, to fight and to share and to expose and to, you know, to do it, whatever the Lord has called us to do, fight for the election integrity or whatever it is.
He's calling forth his army.
Amen. With that big old trump.
Right.
With a big sound of a trump.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Yes, exactly. I love it. We've been gathered together. His chosen ones, his elect. And as I keep talking about the Omer, we are the first fruits. We are the first Omer that he has selected for this amazing, amazing blessing, this amazing task, this to fight in this battle. And he didn't wake up everybody for his own reason. I think to keep us safe. All right. Isn't this amazing, though? He told us to watch for this sign, the sign of the Son of Man. All right. And I do believe that all three of those elements have been accomplished. All three have been accomplished. All right. So now, did anyone memorize Matthew 24:30? I should have said, and 31. Uh-huh. Mark that down, Tammy. I've got to fix that. All right. So yeah, I've quoted that. How many times, girls? It's a very good verse to memorize.
Yeah.
The Lord will, and then you will see the sign. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven.
Yes.
And all the earth will mourn. And you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, and he will send forth his angels with a mighty trumpet blast to gather his chosen ones from the four corners of the earth.
Yeah.
It's a great passage. It keeps you encouraged. You know, people come to the Freedom Force Battalion because they know I'm encouraged, and I'm not ever Debbie Downer, or I'm not picking on you, Debbie. You're not
Debbie.
I'm not, you know, I'm always encouraged and knowing that this is the great day of the Lord. This sign helps you to know that and be encouraged on that. And so that's a great thing. If you want to stay encouraged, I'm just saying it's a good idea to devote that one to memory. Matthew 24, 30 and 31. What does the Son of Man will come in power suggest?
The battle is his. The victory is his. He has come with all power and authority, and he has come to rule and reign.
They can't stop it.
Come to reign.
They cannot stop it. Isn't that awesome, you guys? I love it. Instead of on a puffy cloud.
Oh, no.
It's that he's coming with authority. Perfect. Yes. Yes. We talked about all the earth mourning in verse 22 and gathering his chosen ones. We talked about that. So did anybody pull up a verse? Did you search woman in labor and yep. write down three verses? I'm going to do that for everybody just so they can see. When you go, everybody, to BibleGateway.com, at the very, very top, you'll see this search bar right here, and you can type woman in labor, and you will see it comes back with in different versions, it's had different times, different numbers of responses. In this one, it has 12 responses. So somebody shout out one of their verses that they found.
I did Isaiah 21:3. You just had it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Right there. Yes. Go ahead.
Therefore, my loins are filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold of me like the pangs of a woman in labor. I was distressed when I heard it. I was dismayed when I saw it.
Yeah. Awesome. So, of course, initially this was talking about them being hauled off into Assyria. Mm-hmm. And so, but this is a dual fulfillment type of verse. And the way that you know that is because when you read the entire thing, then you see this restoration. But the restoration of the people when they come back from captivity has not completely been fulfilled. We know that the fulfillment has not occurred when it says that they will live as long as trees and have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. That hasn't happened, right? All the we have not seen, as it talks about clearly in Revelation, the destruction of the beast. So it's you know, talking about this, but it also uses this very pregnant phrase, woman in labor. Literally, it's like 18 times in the Old Testament, woman in labor. And I'd never noticed it before until I realized, you know, I started looking at it. I'm like, I just read this. I just read it again. Why do I keep saying this phrase, woman in labor? And I realize it's talking about this. The sign of the Son of Man is also called the woman in labor. We're in labor pains to see this kingdom born on earth. I mean, it's as clear as a bell. Mm-hmm. Is anyone here Catholic?
I used to be.
Okay, so do you, in the rosary, you know the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I had never noticed this, and I've been to events before. And I finally got a paper where they were reading the rosary that, and I was following along. And at the end, it quotes Revelation 12:1-2. I guess you knew that because I'd never known that since I was not ever raised Catholic.
I was a kid and we used to do it with my grandmother, but I didn't know that. I mean, I remember in a video way back, you talked about that. And I was like, wow, my grandma said that every single day. And I wonder if she knew really what she was, you know, saying.
I know, right. Isn't that amazing? And that whoever put together the rosary knew something that we would, I'll just be honest. When you do the rosary, it's like, okay, we're going round and round and round. How many times are we going to say Hail Marys and all these things? It's like, oh my goodness. And then finally, it feels like forever. I'm just sorry, but it does. It feels like I've been to the funerals. I'm like, David's looking at me like, how long is this going on? I'm like, I don't know. When, you know, especially when you don't know what's happening, you know, you're not Catholic. Anyway, so, and then at the end, all of a sudden it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Isn't that what humanity has experienced? We've been going round and round and round and round and round and round. And then finally, there's this wonder that appears in heaven. And it's the Great Awakening. It's the Battle of Armageddon, kicking out these creeps. Isn't that awesome? All right, who else has got a verse? I'll pull it up. The woman in labor.
I'll do Isaiah 21:3.
Oh, wait. Oh, 21. I think she did that one. She did that one.
Oh, okay. So, 42:14. I thought she, okay. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once.
Yes. That one, I just talked about this the other day. This one's a special one too, because this is about Christ. He's like, I've been waiting all this time. You know, we've been waiting, but he's also been waiting. He says he's been restraining himself. Why was he restraining himself, y'all? I know this is not part of the study, but why was he holding back?
His mercy, right? Was it just not time to give us more?
That's, I think that's part of it, yes. And also it wasn't time. Humanity wasn't ready. He says we had to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Bring in believers all over the world. You have to get that done first. Get believers all over the world. Fill the earth with my people. And then will come the end. You got to do that first.
Okay.
So he had held back, restrained himself, but now he's going to cry and groan and pant This is our picture of our Lord Jesus working hard. Everybody who's had a baby can tell you it's hard work. They call it labor for nothing. They don't call it labor for nothing. It's work. And this is what our Lord Jesus is crying and panting and groaning to get us set free from these creeps. How about this one? Let's see. There's one.
There was one in Isaiah 13:8 that talks about the terror.
Yes.
I think you want to probably hit that one.
Yes, I do. I do. Again, with the reading of the mind. Isaiah, what is it?
Isaiah 13:8.
Okay, I'm just going to do Isaiah 13 and we'll scroll down to it. There you go. Okay. There you go. Read me that one, Debbie Brown.
And they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them, and they will be in pain as a woman in childbirth, and they will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames.
There you go. Love it. That's the creeps. They are flipping out. They're freaking out. They're in fear. They'll be amazed. Be a great fear. Because
in the other version that I read, it said terror will come upon them and they will be racked with pain.
What version were you in?
Holman Christian Standard, I think, is the Bible that I used.
Okay. But, Holman? Yeah, here he is. Here he is. Do that one. Isaiah. I'm sorry. I need to refresh it. So when you do that, just click the search button again and then do it again.
They will be horrified. Pain and agony will seize them. Will be in anguish. They will look at each other, their faces flushed with fear.
Yep. There you go. Yep. I love comparing the verses in different versions because it really brings out.
And this one says horrified, terrified, just in anguish.
They'll be in terror. Yes. Because they know judgment is falling on them.
And you see that now.
Yes.
Like you. Man, if I watch some of the MSM, mainstream media stuff, these people are terrified.
De Niro.
They are freaking out.
I know. Like De Niro, that was just a clear as a...
Oh, yeah. He is like scared to death. And I think it's hilarious. I'm like, you know what? Your time is coming to an end.
Nobody deserves it more.
Celebrating, because y'all have been celebrating over your evil over us for a long time. Now it's our turn.
I love it. And we'll mock, the Bible says that we will mock them.
That's right.
We will, Joel, I think this is Joel chapter 2. They will mock them. No. It's Habakkuk 2. And just mock them. Yeah. We're laughing at you and ridicule them. So these criminals will be horrified. Pain and agony will seize them. They'll be in anguish like a woman in labor. And, as we've talked about before, we've all had babies and it was hard. It was labor, but I wasn't horrified. I wasn't horrified. I wasn't in agony and anguish. This is something different. This is not talking about someone having a baby, clearly.
Another thing I think about is that there will be a time where this will come through. We will be finished with this. I mean, nobody stays in labor forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Right.
But
it feels like it.
It does. It does seem like it. And when you're in the middle of it, it really does.
It really does.
But then you look back and you go, oh my goodness, look what I got.
Right, exactly. Right. Well, this is why Paul's talking about, we're in labor pangs and Jesus said that the woman is in not the word torment. What did he say? When the woman is in labor, they're having a hard time. But then when the baby is born, they forget all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And humanity is going to forget all the pain and the anguish we've been through. Mm-hmm. Right. But this verse, I think though, I guess what I was trying to say is that this verse is clearly talking about, it's not talking about us being horrified. I mean, yes, we're horrified about the things we've learned, but this is about them. They're looking at each other, their faces flushed with fear. This is talking about the deep state, criminal cabal.
Yep.
They are in fear because of what they are. They realize
because the birth of what's about to be born is not good for them.
Right. And they know they're going down.
Yep.
They're going down. They're going to judgment. and they're in great fear. Yeah, but so several of these passages, when they talk about the woman in labor, it's pointing to this right here. And I really do believe, just like the ancients knew about the Bethlehem star, they also knew about this sign. This is all throughout the Old Testament. This is way back, 400 years before Christ. They knew this woman in labor. And of course, the Lord put this in here, but it clearly the book of Isaiah is leading us to this day when we'll be set free. We're living in the day that they look forward to 2,500 years ago. They knew this day was going to get here, and here we are. We are the ones who witness it, and we know it because of the sign of the Son of Man. So now y'all know why I'm always encouraged, you guys, those of you who are watching. You guys always know, you'll know now why I don't ever lose hope at all. All right, so those are, y'all did a great job.
Daniel, too.
What, mm-hmm. Say it one more time.
Isaiah and Daniel both.
Yeah. You know,
they knew this day was coming. They knew they weren't going to see it, but they knew it was coming.
Right. And they just longed. They wished that we had to see it. Exactly. All right. So I'll just go ahead and answer 25. I think the woman in labor is the sign of the Son of Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you guys think?
Absolutely.
I really do think that. All right. And then Revelation 12 has more verses, more information on it besides this. And we got to get going faster. But I just love that. But first part. So Colleen, read for us number 26.
Okay. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So now we're on to verse 3. We're finally getting to verse 3 of chapter 12 of Revelation. But yeah, this another wonder in heaven, another wonder. This is it's a heavenly wonder. So this is happening in the heavens. There's a great red dragon. So I actually pulled up Draco. If you look, this is very, very close to the North Star. So there's a lot going on way up at the North Star near it. So remember I was telling you before, you've got Andromeda and you've got Cephas, which are Christ and his bride, you know, ruling from heaven. But also Draco is trying to rule from heaven. And so you see this big, long tail. Looks exactly like what we're talking about right here in this passage that Colleen just read. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So this is a Draco is a dragon. Isn't there some singer called Draco? I think they isn't that funny how they name themselves after these things?
Yeah.
So what do you think about this third part of the stars that were, do I have a question about that?
You want us to compare Ophiuchus and
So how do you think this passage compares to Draco? I think it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah. So it drew a third part of the stars of heaven. So third part, does that remind you of the 33s?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that's really where we get that little key piece of the puzzle, the 33s, one of the places. So that the third part Satan took mm-hmm. from heaven, and they mm-hmm. couldn't be in heaven anymore. You can't have them in heaven anymore when they are rebelling against the Lord. And then here's the other one. I don't know. I call it Ophiuchus, but it might be Ophiuchus. But with the serpents, it's hard to see a little bit, but he's wrestling this serpent. I need to probably get a better picture of that. So there's the other one that is we have so many amazing biblical signs in the heavens. It's really very obvious when you look at it. This is all a Bible story right here happening. So Jesus is the great serpent wrestler. If you notice, the serpent is always trying to get to that corona borealis. He's trying to get the crown, but he can't ever reach it. He can't reach it, but he's also got to stay right here because he's trying to keep Virgo from giving birth. He doesn't want her to give birth to this kingdom. He's trying to wear the crown and keep her from wearing the crown.
Do you think this has anything to do with Genesis 3, where it talks about the hostility between the serpent and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he will strike your head and you will strike his heel? You think it has anything to do with that?
Well, it's right at her heel.
Yeah, it's right there.
Right at her heel. So he's under her feet. Yeah. And we're stomping on him. He's trying to, you know, truly, if I have a serpent right there at my feet, I'm going to stomp or run, right? <Yeah. laughs> She can't run, really, because she's a constellation, but she can stomp on him. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Debbie. That's a good point. All right. So, yeah, these signs in the heavens are clearly this biblical thing going on here between good and evil. And I do think these signs are what it's talking about there. As it says in that verse, it says that he stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, and to devour her child as soon as it was born. So they're trying to stop our movement, clearly. We're trying to birth this kingdom. And they've been trying to stamp out Christ's kingdom since the beginning. And they've never been able to accomplish it. Every time they do, we just boomerang and get bigger.
Right.
So she brought forth this man-child who's to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. What do you think that's talking about? This man-child.
Well, I mean, could this be that her child was caught up to God and to his throne? I mean, after Jesus laid down his life for us and was resurrected and he went ascended into heaven, truly, he was caught up to God. And I was thinking of it being that place, but I don't know.
Yep. Certainly. And also just to rule, as you were talking about before, who's going to have authority? You know, you rule with a rod of iron, everybody's going to listen.
Yep.
Right? So she's bringing forth, of course, Christ and also us who will rule and reign with him, that we will rule this thing, this kingdom, as he has told us to do. All right. So now, question 29, based on these constellations the Lord put in the heavens, what does the great dragon represent?
Satan.
Yeah, Satan. Yeah. No matter what the heads and the horns and the crowns specifically represent, we know this awful wonder represents Satan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his evil kingdom that he's trying to rule the world in this evil. 31, when you see head, horns, and crowns, as we just read, let me back it up. Let's see, head. It says, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. Okay? 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. So each head has a crown. So the head of state, what does that indicate?
Government?
Yep.
Government.
Authority, right? So he's trying to be the head of everything. What does the horns on a bull, what do those indicate?
Could that be war or a battle of some sort or
right?
Injury? I don't know.
What were you saying, Tamia? You're muted.
Oh, no, pretty much the same thing. The fight, going in for the kill.
Uh-huh.
Horns.
That horn coming at you. Uh-huh. And that's just like us. I mean, we've been trying to fight these people, but they are ruthless. They are ruthless. I'm going to do a video later on today about the 45. Y'all got to just have to watch this one about the 45, because you might not be familiar with the uprising of the Jacobites in the 45, in 1745. And when the usurpers came at them with cannonballs, they couldn't fight that. They were not prepared to They didn't have that. This is their horn of they'll get nuclear weapons, whatever they have to do to win. And because they're just so ruthless. This horns. They have all these horns. Ten horns, right? And then the crowns obviously indicate
authority, power.
Yep. They're like, we won. And you have to do what we say.
But they gave the crowns to themselves. They did, he put that on his head. He didn't earn that.
Amen. He didn't. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And they said, we're not, we don't want to give authority to the Lord and recognize his authority.
We're going to take his authority.
Right, exactly. Okay, there's the one I was talking about. He drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to earth. Reminds you of the one third or the what?
33.
Yep. This is how they've done a lot of their sneaky business. Their sneaky, sneaky ways with the 33s, the secret societies, people that we thought we could trust. And we, they infiltrated the church, they infiltrated the government, infiltrated, you name it. All right. The dragon, question 35, the dragon stands before the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born. Clearly, this just depicts Satan's bloodthirsty, cannibalistic nature, also known as Baal worship. It shows that the dragon is determined to prevent the kingdom of Christ from becoming established on earth. How does verse 5 show the inevitability of Christ assuming his kingly authority on earth? Verse 5. Okay, back it up. Okay, here we go. This one right here. How does that show it's inevitable?
He was caught up to God and he's protected by God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. His throne.
In his throne. Amen. Right side.
Exactly. He's going to rule. He will rule. There's no stopping it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But isn't that disgusting? Devouring the child.
And yet they do that still.
It's been in there this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And we just, so is it surprising to anyone that this is what demon worshipers do?
I mean, when Christ was born, didn't Herod, he tried to get Jesus back then. I mean, the mm-hmm. Old Testament with Moses, they tried to kill the boys, so it just seems like it's been the same thing over and over, trying to stop this from happening. It's not gonna work.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, these demons got to go. They got to go. All right. Tess, do you want to read verse 6 and 7?
Yeah. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there on 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, and the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Amen. All right. So on this passage right here, question 36, the woman in Revelation 12:6 can't be speaking about the Virgin Mary because she flees for 1260 days to be protected. Symbolically, yes, it represents Mary, the Virgin Mary, but it's bigger. It's more expansive than that. It's because Mary represents God's people, right? So I guess I just answered it. But right. So yeah. Yeah. So this is about us, that we are birthing this kingdom. We're all working together to birth this kingdom. All right. So she's fleeing into we'll be protected. The Lord has promised he'll protect us through this battle, that we're going to be protected. And so there's this war, but they can't defeat us. So again, with this, all this symbolism of these days, so 1260 days equals how many months, everybody?
42
months. 42. How many years?
Three and a half.
Three and a half.
Right. Time, times, and
half a time.
Right. Those are all equivalent. So when you see that in Revelation, you see it in Daniel, you realize it's not about getting a specific number of days or calculating all that. I really believe it's about, we talked about this on the last video, it's about a period of struggle. It's a period of struggle. It's also equivalent. You see the symbolism in that circuit I was talking about here with Jupiter, Melchizedek, 42. You see this 42. When you start seeing the symbolism, the 3.5, the 42, the 1260, the time, times, and half a time, you realize it's talking about this struggle. Every time it's talked about, it's saying it's really the same thing, a battle, a struggle to take the kingdom. All right. And 12:7 talks about this epic battle between what?
Michael and his angels. Michael
and the dragon.
Right.
Devil.
Yeah. The devil. Satan.
Satan.
It's amazing. We're fighting alongside angels. How cool is that?
That gives me comfort.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're protecting us. So, I feel like we're bulletproof. So if you look at, I know what it was, President Trump on his ceiling and in his New York apartment has a heavenly battle scene of angels. Amazing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And he also has Andromeda being rescued by Perseus. Yeah. Andromeda, she's chained, and so Perseus comes in the last second, catches her away, takes her away, so she's safe, like it was talking about here in Revelation 12:6. All right, this amazing battle. Do you think this is verse 7 is talking about literal heaven or positions of authority? Verse 7, they did not prevail, nor was a place found in them in heaven any longer.
Authority, positions of authority.
Right. No longer will they have these positions of authority. Amen. Yeah. Yay for that.
Woo. Yay.
Praise the Lord. I'm so ready. So the great dragon was cast out. The one who deceives the whole world. He was cast to earth. His angels were cast out with him. He's been cast down until he's into the pit. Verse 10. All right. Who could read that? Debbie, could you read verse 10, 11, 12?
I would be glad to. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time.
Right. This is why it's so crazy.
Yes.
This is why it's so crazy. But I love that verse 10. Now is come what?
Salvation and strength.
And the kingdom of our God. Salvation. Our world needs to be saved.
Whew.
Our world needs to be rescued. Seriously. And strength. The
only tool we need is the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
That's what's saving us is that blood, that price that he paid for us.
Amen. He said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You're getting ahead. You're doing like me. You're getting ahead. Okay, so now is salvation and strength and the kingdom. The kingdom. Who is ready for his kingdom to come and his will to be done? His kingdom come, his will be done. This power of Christ have come. The accuser of our brethren has been cast down. So what happens to this earthly authority of the dragon? Just gets taken away. Oh, so ready. So ready. This is where we're headed, you guys. So this is all right at this time when this battle comes from after we see the sign of the Son of Man. That's why they're flipping out, because they realize their authority is being drained from them. How do the people overcome, Debbie?
We can't do it on our own. That's what we need to know. We need him.
Amen.
We need to be covered by the blood. And I know somebody who prays the blood of Jesus over everything. She prays that every day. And I'm inspired by her.
Amen. Love that. So we're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Right?
I was thinking about Romans 10, 9 and 10. Being the word of their testimony. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I mean, the testimony of our mouths is what, and what's inside our hearts is what is making the difference of whether we're part of them or part of us.
True. Very good point. Uh-oh, Colleen, you're muted, honey. I didn't mute you, hon. I didn't, I promise. Take your time. We will wait. We know Colleen has something very important to say, and she's going to get unmuted. I don't know.
Sorry. My husband came home for lunch, and so he's making noise. Okay, so I was thinking about the blood of the Lamb, which we know, Melissa, when you talked about the Ark of the Covenant, the blood coming down, which needed to happen. Other people are talking about that now. I had told Melissa that. I heard a couple people. So it's people are starting to know that the blood was on the mercy seat. So
amen.
To me, it's just amazing. That you,
it is.
And you were talking about the blood of the Lamb on the mercy seat. I just love that.
I do too. Don't even get me started, because we'll be here for an hour. I love that. It's the Lord knows the end from the beginning. If you haven't seen that video that she's talking about, go on to right here on, let's see, which one is it? This one right here, Archaeological Discoveries. Hmm. Look at the one about the Ark of the Covenant right there. All right, so you've definitely got to go and see that. But yeah, the only reason that we can do any of this is because we stand forgiven because of the blood of Christ. We stand blameless before in his sight. So we are connected to him. Before the blood of the Lamb came, we were alienated, the Bible says. We couldn't hear from the Lord because we had their sin that was blocking the way. But now we stand blameless. And so we can hear. We can hear his voice as he clearly has awakened you. And so that you can listen to him and follow whatever he tells you to do. And so thankfully, it's because that our Lord Jesus bought this by his death on the cross. And then the word of our testimony is what every day the Lord says, tells you the truth and you share it. And that's what you've been doing for years, years. You're speaking the truth that, and you're, you know, maybe some people, they're like, they don't want to hear it. But the reality is you're telling them so that they can be saved. They can be rescued. For example, this whole thing that Fauci was in before Congress yesterday, we were trying to help people understand this. This doctor said he's the only doctor in Congress who has treated people with COVID. He treated people throughout the entire pandemic. So he's trying to tell people, and he got canceled. You know, he was trying to save their lives. So all these things that you are sharing, whether it's about, you know, the pandemic or about the whatever it is. Whatever it is about the trials or about just a thousand of things that we share, it's not to hurt anyone. It's to try to help them to realize that our government is criminal and we have to have them removed. And that
I don't get too upset if people look at me like I have three heads or they don't accept the information when I first share it. But I keep thinking I'm planting seeds, and that when they go through something and they see something that's happening and they go, what did she say about that? And they might even listen or come back and it might wake them up.
Yep. It's in there. That seed's there. And so it says they didn't love their lives to the death. Mm-hmm. You know, we've put ourselves at risk doing this. There's no doubt about it. It's like, okay, that's fine. Yeah. We all counted the cost. and said, and we continue to count the cost every day. And we've proven, this is our proving ground. We're showing that we love him and that we love his kingdom and that we don't love our lives to the death. It's like, if I die, okay. At, you know, just we want our lives to count for him and for his kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So this is how we're winning. We don't fear because verse 11, because we know even if we do pass, we'll just go through a beautiful curtain and we'll go right into glory. Right. I think of it like a curtain. Just, oh, well, there you go. There was heaven all along. Didn't even know it was right there. You know, the Lord just gathers us up and we'll be blessed and he'll just give us, say, well, good. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over much. All right. So, but the battle is still raging on. So here we are still in Revelation 12 fighting this battle. And so they are panicking, having what? Knowing they have what? What was from Revelation 12, 12? Having
great
wrath.
Great.
Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing he has
short time.
Short time, right?
Short time.
Having great wrath. This is why they're so angry. They are doing everything to try to stamp us out and punish us for speaking this truth. Yeah. Did I tell you my Twitter is under review? And I realize it's because some things you try to say something, and then it'll just like, we got to stamp her out and get rid of her. They've done this so many times, but it lets you know you're over the target. But anyway, I'm hoping that I could just, you know, they won't see it. I just pray the Lord make me invisible to the bad guys. But no, because they know they have little time. That's why there's so much persecution to silence the trumpeters. We are the trumpeters. And their last ditch effort to regain control. I pray for the people of the righteous people of Gaza, the righteous people of Ukraine, the righteous people of Venezuela, or the righteous people of, you name it, the Uyghurs and all these people who are trying to do the right thing. And that the Lord will just hide them and protect them. And just like it says here, you know, that they'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and proving that they don't love their lives to the death. We've got amazing people who are fighting so hard in this battle all over the world. Question 45, when the dragon saw that he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to be nourished for time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Who might this eagle represent?
America.
America. America.
America.
America. America. Right. What do y'all think about that? How is this woman kept safe in America?
I don't know very many other countries that have at least the freedom that we have.
Right. Right.
And although we feel persecuted by our rights and our, deception and all that, we still do have a right to read our Bible, and we still do have a right to
go to church and to preach the gospel. And
exactly. So we have more than some.
Right. 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 And we've tried to protect the world. And so, just the fact that we push back when countries do something evil, like what's going on in Gaza or whatever, when we push back, it has an effect. So this is very probably controversial or strange topic, but all these people have come to our country across this border. And I just, had said something, threw something out there the other day about what is happening with, are these people coming in? Are some of these people getting, joining Space Force, getting amnesty to join Space Force? I don't know. But some interesting things that President Trump said that makes you think, is something else going on? And we know that, the numbers in a regular army are dwindling, but we know that Space Force is doing well. So I'm wondering if some of these people are being protected to come here to be part of something bigger, and that that's their role to play in this great day of Armageddon. I'm just throwing that out there. Just throwing this out there. So this there people are coming to America, and I know we talk about the border, and I know there's a lot of things, there's cartels and all this, and I'm horrified about fighting so hard to stop what's happening with the children. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But there are a lot of people who've come here and they are safe from their country. If I lived in Venezuela, I would get my happy little whatever up to America as fast as I could. And they're starving and eating out of garbage cans. You can't blame the people. They've all over the world, people have had terrible, terrible things going on. Haiti, all this. I'd be like, I'm going to America right as fast as I can to be safe. No doubt. No doubt. And until we, and yes, after this is over, and their country is safe again, yes, we can deport. They can go home because they can go home to their safe place in their homeland and be where they want to be, right? All right. Verse, question 46. All right, Tess, read me that one.
Okay. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth.
There you go. It's true. I'm thinking that's symbolic. Y'all think? Maybe. Maybe. How could this flood carry us away? How could that flood be swallowed up?
I think probably like the flood of false information can get us distracted and off course and carried up. And then it takes the truth of people speaking the truth to draw us back in. That's the kind of way that I look at it.
I do too. I think that's exactly what it's talking about. The flood of lies that come from the mainstream media, it'll wash you right away. It's a wild place out there.
It is so wild.
The torrents of lies. That's why we have to have the alternative media so we can just swallow up all those lies. When you hear the truth, it has that resonance to it. And you know it's true, and it just, oh, yay, now I know the truth about that, so I'm not going to freak out.
Well, and too, sometimes you hear the truth and then you think about the lie and you think, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. How could anyone fall for that? But yet, that's how Satan is, because he's deceptive.
Well, and
He
it comes
deceives.
from all sides too. When you're being told the radio and the TV and the newspaper and all, everybody's saying the same thing. But this is the Lord is causing that all these lies to just wash away. And that's the miracle. All of our lives, all of us have fallen victim to a lot of lies. And somehow now it's not working. This is the miracle. This is the miracle. That's the Lord is causing the earth to open up and swallow up all these lies. Question 47. Colleen, read that one.
Notice the 47. Okay, and the dragon was engaged with the woman, and he went to make war on the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Right. Yes. Read that first portion of 47, just the question.
Notice that instead of the dragon creating both sides of proxy wars that end up killing humanity, this war is between the dragon and the righteous. What are the identifying characteristics of the seed of the woman?
That's right. In all the past, they would control both sides. Even in Red Pill, y'all, but even in the Civil War, even I think in the Revolutionary War, they were controlling a lot of both sides. Even in, Vietnam and the Korean War and World War I, World War II, they control both sides.
And they're fun both sides. They make money off both sides.
They kill both sides. Exactly.
Right.
Right. So, but this time, who's the war between?
Christ's children. I mean, God's children are being attacked by mm-hmm. Satan. And that's what this war is about right now, is good yeah. against evil.
Right. So now at least it's good versus evil, rather than all these bad guys pulling the strings to see us killing each other. Mm. That's mm-hmm. the point I'm trying to make. I don't think I said it really, really well, but the point is, it's no longer them being safe up here pulling the strings and us killing each other. It's that we are literally in the battle between good and evil. That's where we need to be. It needs to be a fight to the death, and they're going to die. They're out, and we get to have the kingdom of Christ on earth. So we're fighting a true war, as President Trump has talked about, the war to end all wars. So we're having a war, but at least it's not this proxy war anymore. Yeah.
And we have to fight against letting people pit us against each other.
Oh, Jesus, help us. Yes. Yes. Yep. So that's why every time you see that, you guys, every time you see that they are doing that, pitting us against each other, the young people who are trying to protect the children in Gaza, say, no, our battle is not against each other. Our battle is always against the criminal cabal dragon. Mm-hmm. That drives me
crazy. But that's how they try to defeat us, is by dividing us. Yeah. Divide and conquer. Divide yeah. and conquer.
And the Patriots are fighting for it. I'm like, don't keep yes. falling for it. It's Lucy with the football. Come on. How many times does he have to fall on his butt, right? How many times? 48. I think this is our last question? Oh, my goodness. The last note, we have two questions. Based on the heavenly star sign, what has humanity been experiencing since September 23rd, 2017,
the great awakening
and the battle of
Armageddon.
Right? That's it. There's no doubt about it. That's what we've experienced, because the Lord gave us this amazing sign in the heavens, the sign of the Son of Man. And that makes perfectly good sense that this is what we're experiencing, the great awakening and the battle of Armageddon. Do you believe our victory is inevitable?
Yes.
Soon? What do y'all think?
Yes. I think soon.
Why do you think that? Or, why do you think that?
The signs are there.
Right.
Why would you think it'd be soon? Because it could be. I mean, some people have asked me, they're like, why is it not? It could be 50 years.
We saw the sign of the Son of Man. We have times and half a times. We have all these things telling us. It's symbolically, maybe not exact days, but it's telling us that it's happening.
Right. Well,
the whole purpose of watching, keeping the festivals, watching for the stars, all of these things, although not specific numbers on the calendar, we're saying here are the signs that labor is upon us and it's time. I mean, we know how long a baby takes, and we start counting down about 9 months. We're counting down. You ready?
right. So, and that's why I was hoping it wasn't going to be this long, to be honest.
I know.
I didn't, and I just talked about this when I talked about the bowls in the book. I talk about the four phases, and I really thought it was going to be during the President Trump's first term, and clearly I was wrong. And so I can be wrong again. I'm just going to throw this out there, though, that the 7 years is a very biblical period. I'm not going to go into the detail about it right now, but we're waiting on this final week, which in the Bible talks about this 7 year period. They've many times talked about a 7 year tribulation. And so the way they've said it, I don't agree with, but the point is that the fact remains that there is this one biblical week of 7 years that we are waiting to see fulfilled, that last remaining week in from Daniel, I want to say chapter 9, but anyway, wherever it is, that if it was started 7 years from September 23rd, 2017, would be this September 2024. I hope that's right. President Trump has also said this is the final battle. This is the final battle. 2024 is the final battle. And did you guys see the one I did with the bowls? If you haven't seen that one with the bowls, where I was talking about the, I'm going to do this real quick. I'm going to show y'all this super quick. This one right here. Okay, the seven bowls of wrath decode. I go into, let me see if I can pull it up fairly quickly. Okay, right here. I need to mute it. But here at the end of this video, I go into the seven bowls of God's wrath, and starting with the sign of the Son of Man. Let me see if I can get to it. Sign of the Son of Man, and then when you're going forward, you'll see this Jupiter has been doing seven bowls. It's been in 1, 2, 3, 4. We've just completed the sixth bowl, and we're just about to go on to the seventh bowl, and it coincides with the seven bowls in Revelation 15 and 16. There it's doing another loop. They went another loop. And so it's been seven of them. And the last one is right here in, okay, let me back it up again, in the horn of Taurus. In this horn, doing this like a zigzag, as if his horn is goring the cabal. And what's one of the things I love about Taurus is that it's our Lord Jesus coming on a rampage to destroy the evildoers. So I don't know, but this would be if completing the zigzag just after President Trump is inaugurated. So we'll see. That would be seven. I would say bowls, but I'm saying bowls in the sense of like a stirring, He's been stirring up though. Anyway, check it out, you guys. It's called Trump Military Operation, President Set, Patriot Felons, Sunday 6/2/24. So search 6-2-24 and you can find it. And it'll be on the website soon. All right. So that's one of the reasons I think it's soon, the 7 years biblical prophecy about 7 year week that we're waiting on. Also, President Trump said 2024 is our final battle. And also this amazing sign in the heavens. But ultimately, we will see. We're in it to win it. We're not going to stop until we win. Either way, however long it's going to be, right? We're going to do. Going to stay in here and make it happen. All right. I think that was, what do you think? Was that pretty easy?
It took us a while, but I think it was worth it.
Yes. I know it was hard, but this is a very important for us to break down and understand this, this passage. And you know what? We prayed before we came on. I don't know if we prayed when we started. We probably didn't. We prayed before we got started, you guys. We'll pray now also. And we are asking the Lord to bless our time, because the only way we can understand any of this is by His Spirit, right?
Right.
All right. Tammy, would you lead us in prayer before we go?
Yes. I may be joined by dogs, but Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time. We just love You. We praise You. This message that You're putting on our hearts, we just ask that it just goes out and out and out and further to each person. And that one person tells another person that soon we're all awake. We're just excitedly waiting for this to happen. We thank You for our time together, for each person here today, and for each person that will hear this message. We love You. We praise You in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. I hope you guys put in the comments what you guys think, what your thoughts are on it. And like I said before, I mean, do something real super quick before we go. If you have not seen the book, it's over on, check it out on freedomforce.live. These are the books right here. This is what we're doing. End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. You can also find them on Amazon. And so you can learn more about the truth about end times. Because it's good news. It's the end times for them. And what, you guys? 1,000 Years of Peace for us. For us. Okay. I love you guys.
Okay. Love you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Later. Later.